garden long ago. Sin entered the world to capture man's soul. Minds were on evil continually, but God had a plan to redeem you and me. That's why there's a cross. That's why there's the blood. Our heavenly Father shows his great love. He sent his own Son for what seemed a lost cause. Sin's debt was paid. That's why there's the cross.
It seems evil's winning still today. Hearts are all filled with anger and rage. All we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone to his own way. That's why there's a cross. That's why there's the blood. Our heavenly Father shows his great love. He sent his own Son for what seemed a lost cause.
Sing about the cross again.
Y'all get your old hymn book and
I don't want to do a solo. It hurts your all's ears. All right, let's y'all can remain seated. We're gonna sing 153 at the cross.
Alas, it did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die. Would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I had known, he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Excuse me. All right, let's all turn our hymn books. Let's all stand. Let's turn our hymn books to page 223. It is well with my soul. 223.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate, and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the face shall be sighed. The clouds be rolled back as a stroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
Amen. Glad I know it's well, and I'm glad I can sing the song. Amen. Amen. We're going to have an offering tonight and fellowship one with another while you're bringing your offering. And we have some first-time visitors here, David and Carol Nessing. And so they are sitting right there with Miss Nancy. And so be sure and greet them and bring an offering and be a blessing. Father, thank you again for the time to give. May it be a blessing to the preacher and to the needs that he might have. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
On the sea of human need, through the hours of all the ages, those tired of sailing on their own finally rest inside the shadow cast by Calvary's love across their souls. Calvary's love, Calvary's love, priceless gift Christ makes us worthy of. The deepest sin can't rise above Calvary's love. Calvary's love can heal the spirit life has crushed and cast aside, and redeemed till heaven's promise fills with joy once empty eyes. So desire to tell the story of love that loved enough to die, burns away all other passions, and led by Calvary's love, becomes a fire. Calvary's love, Calvary's love, priceless gift Christ makes us worthy of. The deepest sin can't rise above Calvary's love. Calvary's love has never faltered. All its wonders still remain. Souls still take eternal passage, sins atoned and heaven gained. Sins atoned and heaven gained. Sins atoned. And heaven gained.
Always a joy to have Brother Lett with us. Looking forward to the Lord speaking through him tonight. So let's give our attention to him and to the word of the Lord. Amen, preacher.
Thank you, Bill Gibson. Thanks for letting me come. Thank you for being here. This is a good Thursday night crowd. How many of you have been here every single night of this meeting? Would you raise your hand? Man, that is great. How many have been here every night but one? You only missed, that's the rest of you. Okay, you're doing good. I said to somebody, welcome back, and they said, I wasn't here last night. I said, well, welcome front. And we're glad you made it. Well, you're going to welcome you one way or the other. I heard about a little girl was new in a class, so the teacher is trying to get to know her. She said, now, what does your daddy do for a living? She said, my daddy is a magician. And the teacher said, that's wonderful. Does he have any favorite tricks? Yes, she said, his favorite trick is sawing people in half. Oh, she said, I've seen that trick. I like that trick. Then she said, do you have any brothers or sisters? She said, yes, I have a half brother and two half sisters. So if you weren't here last night, you've been here half the time. And I'm grateful for that. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, if you would, please. Matthew, the 9th chapter. I won't say anything after the service about the books on the table, except I'll say now, remember that stuff I told you about last night? It's the same stuff tonight as it was last night, all right? I didn't tell you that I can take credit cards, checks, as well as cash. I take wedding rings, small children, no husbands. We had to stop taking husbands. We got seriously overstocked. And we found out what you ladies have known for a long time. No one else wants yours either. And once you have them, you can't do a thing with them. We found that out. But really can take credit cards. And somebody made this available to you. If you think there's an item or two, one or two items on the table that would help you that you'd like to have, but you could not afford it, then you go ahead and pick those up. And somebody has said that they'll care for that and make that right. So if there's something you think the Lord wants you to have, one or two items, then go ahead and take it, and we'll get it figured out later on. Just tell me that you're doing it, all right? So I know what's up, and don't think they were stolen. I just steal them. It's easier. Matthew chapter 9, and stand with me if you don't mind as I read from verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel. I like that. Sometimes they say about a church, well, all they do over there is preach John 3:16. Well, I doubt that's true, but whether it's true or not, I don't like your attitude about John 3:16. You may preach something other than John 3:16, but you'll never preach anything better than John 3:16. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. I'd like to see those people on the Hookie Pookie television channel do that. Every sickness and every disease. If Benny Hinn is such hot stuff, why didn't he go to the hospital? A lot of prospects there. But, after healing every sickness and every disease, I think that'd be a pretty good meeting. Pretty good road trip, pretty good mission trip. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening. I thank you for the kindness shown to me by this church, for the lovely room, all the nice things that they placed in it to make me comfortable. And Lord, I thank you for the good meals that I've enjoyed with the preacher, and thank you for the young men that went with us this afternoon. And I want to be a help, but I can no more help them than you help me. Now, the best I know, I'm preaching the sermon you've prompted me to preach. I pray you'd use it to your intended purpose. Draw us to yourself. Change our thinking where it has been inconsistent with your word. And help us have the mind of the Lord Jesus. Bind the devil and his demons. Don't let them snatch the seed of your perfect word away from the soil of our needy hearts. but help us to determine it would be good, open, receptive ground, like the Bereans, to receive the word with all readiness of mind. And bless the invitation as well. We'll thank you in advance for what we trust you to do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever had the privilege of praying for somebody? They've called you up and they've come to you and said, pray with me about this. And you've joined them in prayer and then the answer comes. And you felt like you entered into their burden and shared in their labor. And together you had seen God do a great work. Did you ever have somebody ask you to pray for something and you forgot it? You might say, hey, remember I asked you to pray about such and such? And you're smiling and thinking, oh, brother. Lord, please help them. Amen. Yes, yes, I remember that. I was praying about that just earlier today. Very, very little bit earlier today. That's embarrassing. What if Jesus asked you to pray for something? Would you do it? What if you already did? And we forgot. In this passage, we have what I call as the title of the message tonight, Jesus' only prayer request. Now, the Bible tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus gave us a model or an example prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. But this is the only time in the Bible that the Lord Jesus asked us to pray for anything on his behalf. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, we use that as a banner for missions conferences. It's a nice banner. We'll put that on a prayer card or a prayer letter. It's a nice little slogan, but it's more than a banner. It's more than a prayer card. It's more than a slogan. It is a command of the Lord Jesus. He didn't say if you have time, if it occurs to you, if you think about it. He just said, pray ye therefore. Lord of the harvest. He will send forth laborers into his harvest. I want you to notice, first of all, tonight, the Savior's perception. The Bible says, even though he had a tremendous preaching trip and healed every sickness and every disease, when he came back and he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. They were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. They were weak, unable to sustain and support themselves. What would you do tonight if somebody fainted? Just maybe sitting on the aisle and kind of keel over, fell down in the middle of the aisle. You go, look at that, man. They're going to be embarrassed. Later, they're going to hand me a picture and put it on Instagram. And it's my favorite thing to do that. Make sure I like it, family. Get some smelling salts or put them in your socks or something. Try to revive them. They're scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. It's interesting how the Lord Jesus sees the unsaved world. Right. Now, there are crazy people in this world doing what I think are just pretty peculiar things. They're putting ink all up and down their arm, and you can barely tell what their natural skin tone was. And they're putting metal all over their face. They're putting their nose. A piece of metal in their nose. I just always wonder about that. I wonder when you blow your nose, does it feel like you got coagulated mucous membrane on the other side of that? So you can preach without saying word. And if they take it out and blow their nose, I wonder, does stuff come out the hole? It's true. Strange. For a while back, thankfully, this stuff is not out, but the ladies would always wear their tops about 6 to 12 inches higher than where they were for the bottoms, and that way we knew that they had a navel. Everybody had to show their belly button. Remember that? And they put little rings in. I mean, they weighed 350 pounds. They had their belly button showing. They have a ring in there. I guess in this case, they fell down the crane and something hooked up on them. But that's not what Jesus sees when he looks at it.
Right, amen. So when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. I was in a Target store several years ago. That was before they did their transgender deal. I don't go back there anymore. I'm not mad at you if you don't do. But I just want to go back there. But I was in this Target store getting the prescription, and the lady behind the counter was real nice and real friendly. Long line. And business was going slowly, but she was real nice. And she had as much metal in her face as I'd ever seen. She had six or seven deals along this year. She had some here, and 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 some here. But she was real nice. I got up to the front line. I said, "Ma'am, I'm Pastor Lett from First Baptist Church of Bridgeport. I said, here, let me give you some good news. Why don't you come visit our church? You come see us. We'll be nice to you." She got real serious, and she said, "Thanks. Most pastors aren't." I figured I knew why, but I played the dumb, which is not hard for me. I said, "Why?" She said, "Because of this." Can I say, Brother Gibson, I doubt it was some Lutheran pastor. Right? Give it that impression.
Yeah.
Right. Mm. Well, I'm sad. Before anybody told her God, before anybody told her that she was an eternal soul that would spend forever in heaven or hell, before anybody told her that Jesus died on the cross to pay for her sins, somebody had a terrible day in my bed stuck in her face. Savior's preacher friend in California named Clint Miller. Before he got saved, he was in Hollywood. He knows all those people. He did his recordings as a singer. His brother did all of his recordings at Johnny Cash's studio. A lot of them. He sang John Carter Cash's wedding and June Carter Cash's funeral. He knows a bunch of people. And he was a wealthy businessman after that, and he started a church. He spent all his money on the church. He was in the Ontario, California airport one day. His boys were young men, Kobe and Cheyenne, and they came up to me and said, "Dad, there's a movie star in this airport." And there was a lady there named Nedra Walls. She played the maid Adelaide on a TV program back in that era called Different Strokes. You don't know the program, just remember it existed. And Clint Miller said, "Did you give her a track?" And he said, "No, he said, we're back to her track." And they're back in Adelaide. He gave the front line. Nedra Walls said to Pastor Miller, "Are these your boys?" He said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "They're fine boys." He said, "Thank you, ma'am. Can I ask you a question? If you die today, do you know whether or not you go to heaven?" She said, "No, I don't." He said, "Can I tell you how to know that?" She said, "Yes." He gave her the gospel. She prayed and trusted Jesus Christ. And that's it.
Amen.
She looked at him and she said, "I want you to know this means something to you. It really does." A week or so later, got a big envelope in the mail. There's an 8x10 publicity photo from Nedra Walls, and she signed that to my friend, Pastor Miller. "Thanks for what you did for me." Not long after that, the phone rang, and a voice said, "I'm so-and-so. I'm the personal assistant for Nedra Walls, and she'd like to know where I am. She came to visit your church this Sunday." Church went about 80 people then, and it didn't go on very long. And she came, and she stood up in front of the crowd, and she said, "All my life I've had it all. But now I have everything because I have Jesus, your pastor, led me to Christ." Everybody else saw a chance to get an autograph. A chance to meet somebody famous. A chance to go home and say, "Hey, you'll never guess who I got to talk to the airport today." But Tim Miller didn't see that. He saw a soul that needed everlasting life.
Yeah.
The Savior's perception. But notice the Savior's. When he saw them, he was moved with compassion. They tell me that word, compassion, the phrase moved with compassion, is the strongest word for emotion in the Greek language. They say that it means to have the internal organs yearn. You hear something bad after somebody has to feel a twinge inside. These are old statistics. I suspect the numbers are worse now. But last I knew, every day 125,000 people died and went to heaven. About 25,000 people in your county, about that, about that. Five times the population in your county dies and goes to hell. If this entire county were wiped out,
in one day make the news all over the world. How many people go to hell today? Every day. Every day, they say 138,000 people are born, most of whom will live their entire life without one clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They say if you make a line for all the unsaved people, it would circle the globe seven times. That's 175,000. The line gets 20 miles longer every day. They say if we could keep winning people to Christ at the rate we are now and stop all the births and stop all the deaths, it would take us 400 years to win America to Christ and 4,000 years to win the world to Christ. You can't stop the births and you can't stop the
deaths. Amen.
Sorry. But the thing about that is we hear that in adjustment. Nobody reads. Nobody loses interest. You go home and watch the same news or whatever we're going to watch on the television. We'll bed at the same time, get up at the same time, do the same thing the next day. But it bothered Jesus. He was moved with compassion. He saw that they fainted. He saw they were scattered. He saw they were in trouble in spite of the tremendous tribute and healing every person of every position, every sickness. Every place you went, he was bothered deeply by the plight of lost people all around him. And that brings me to the Savior's problem. This is the Lord Jesus said. He said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. The harvest is plenteous. Would you say that with me? The harvest is plenteous. Would you say it again, please? The harvest is plenteous. It's popular for people to say, well, you know, you just can't get people saying like you used to. You know, we live in a gospel hardened society. We've lost our Christian mornings, and you just can't get people saying like you used to. It's just top out there. Well, you can believe that if you want to, but Jesus said the harvest is plenteous.
Right. Amen.
When you hear people talk like that, mark down two things. Number one, they disagree with Jesus. Yep. You, Jesus, disagree, I think I'm being his son. Jesus and I disagree with being his son. The harvest is plenteous. They have disagreed with Jesus. Not only that, you mark this down. They have been trying to give the gospel to too many people. As an airplane 2 months ago. A little plane, two seats on the side. I gave a gospel tract to the lady next to me. And I said, where are you from? She said, I just moved to Petoskey, Michigan. But she said, for years and years, we lived in Barrington, Illinois. And she looked at my tract and she said, oh, we were members of Bill Heibel's church there for years and years and years. Real big church. He's kind of the guru of the progressive and contemporary church. He was mentored by Robert Schuller, who was mentored by Norman Vincent Peale. That's not a very good heritage. And I gave him his tracks, so this tells you how to be sure you're going to be him. I said, well, and she said, we were there for years, we were really in with it. I said, well, what did they tell you there that you had to do to be able to attend? And she said, well, you know, their weekend services were for the masses. And this big auditorium, they didn't have any time to get out a screen. And she said they had several services, some on Saturday, some on Sunday. She didn't answer my question, so I just didn't say anything. Then she said, well, they had a Bible study during the week, and that was more detailed. Still didn't answer my question. I didn't say anything. She said, I guess they didn't really tell us anything about our weekend. It's not a Mormon church, not a Catholic church, not a mainline denomination, not a United Methodist. This is a church that would say they believe in the inspiration of the Bible, and say it would be Jesus, go to heaven, and say it would be the gospel. Like he knew it, and she lived there for years. And so now I'm doing this in that tract in a few minutes. She listened to the gospel and agreed to trust Christ as her Savior. The harvest is plenty. That's how hard we can do it. It's hard to get a little of Jesus.
Yeah.
Always been that way. A lot more people follow
Jesus in his earthly ministry then showed up in the upper room. But the laborers refused. In the economy of God, there's never been a harvest problem. There's been a labor problem. Would you say to me, with me, the laborers are few. Would you say that, please?
The laborers are few.
Last week at First Baptist Church Bridgeport, according to the numbers up on the board, we have a board that puts the only numbers we put up in our church. We put the attendance and salvations and baptisms and the bulletin. But on the wall of the church, we have a board that tells how many people went out soul winning, and it tells how many contacts they made. It tells how many people they saw soul winning. And I think last week, I think we had 206 people out soul winning. I think they made 1,976 contacts, and I think they saw 13 people saved. I'm not drawing that up, but I'm not. So let's say that next week we want to see 26 people saved. What do you suppose we have to do? I'm not real smart, but I bet you we've got 412 up instead of 206. And instead of 1,976, we made 3,952 contacts. And I bet you that if we did that, we might just see, instead of 13 people saved, 26 people saved. Laborers are really important. The Lord Jesus said, I'm going to labor. That brings me to the Savior's petition. His request to us, he says, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send more laborers into. Pray for laborers. Would you say that to me? Pray for laborers. Say it again.
Pray for laborers.
You can say pray for good offerings. Okay. I do that frequently. He didn't say pray for good attendance. I'm for that. He didn't say pray that you'll be able to get somebody to drive the bus or teach the class or help in the nursery. I think that's good. But he did say, I got all these lost people out there. I want you to pray for laborers. It's a I had some prayer requests and I said, preacher, would you pray for me? You know my cousin Matilda, her Aunt Lucy has a husband named Ralph and his brother-in-law George. Went to the doctor the other day and he said that he had trisomia symptomatic leukemia of the sclerosis. And that's making him have pimples on his nose. And I want you to pray, and you try to pray, but you got lost in that. Just pray for me. It's a singular petition. It's only thing you ask. Guys that are in a position where your wife calls you when you're at work and says, would you bring such and such home when you go? Good luck with that, ladies. Some of these guys can tell you every pitcher that pitched in the World Series 10 years ago, what their ERA was, and how many runs were scored out of each inning of every game. If you say bring a loaf of bread home, it just absolutely escapes their mind. My wife will call me and bring some home. And she's home a lot because her mother stays with us and requires constant attention. So if I want to remember it, I put it on a little yellow sticky note and I put it on the door right before I walk out. So I have to see it before I get in the car. If I do that, I got a 50-50 chance of bringing it. Laborers are really important.
Amen.
If you can only ask them to pray for one thing, I bet you can do it. If you just can ask one prayer request, I bet you it'll be something that is close to your heart, something that matters. And Jesus said, pray for labor. We talk about how the devil is going to set down the word of God. Really, so you go out to believe it. You know, and that's biblical. There's a Bible truth about that. I was like the shepherd, the sheep shall be scattered. But I've been in churches where the preacher messed up and it hurt, and there was a generation of young people badly affected. But the church is coming on with great things for God. They said, well, the government's going to get more and more restrictive, and they're going to take away our rights. And I think there are those in government that have that desire, that they just really don't like what we do, and they'd like us not to be here. But
Dante lived in China. There were 3 million Christians when the communists took over. And now there are 70 or more million Christians. Not in terms of percentage, but in terms of total numbers, within the next 15 to 20 years, they say China will be the most Christian nation in the world. You can't stop the gospel of persecution. But I'll tell you one way to shut down word of God overnight, just let there be no labels.
Amen.
How many pieces of literature, preacher, are those presses capable of producing in a 24-hour period?
Maybe 300,000.
300,000 in 24 hours. How many do they produce when nobody's running?
Zero.
The matter of the press is that there's no labor done producing. Just look at me. Let there be one Sunday if nobody plays the piano. Nobody teaches a class. Nobody runs a bus. Nobody turns the light. Nobody unlocks the door. And the work of God shuts down overnight. Labors are really bad.
Amen.
And they really have. They're really a big deal to God. And the Lord Jesus said, pray for me. And then he asked. He was about 15 years. He said later, many a time I envied the horses in the field or the toads in the ditch because I knew they had no soul. They would like to perish under the weight of their sin as mine. In his quest for truth, he stumbled into a little chapel on a snowy day. The snow was so bad the regular preacher didn't get there. Just a handful of folks had come. A few of them gathered together and it obviously fell on one of them to preach, though he had not been prepared to do so. He was a workman kind of guy, the man later described him. Found a good text. We're going to be all and be saved all the ends of the earth. Stood up, started to preach out. About 5 minutes, he ran out of Ephesus. And they saw this young man sitting in the back. He knew that he was a stranger, a guest, not a normal attender. And he said, young man, you look very miserable to me. The young man said, I was, but I'm not accustomed to have remarks made about my person from the pulpit. And then he said, young man, you'll always be miserable. Miserable in life and miserable in death unless you obey my text. But he said, young man, if you obey my text, you can be saved this instant. Oh, he said, young man, look to Jesus. Look, look, look. And he said, when the lady substitute preacher had announced his text, he saw a glimmer of hope. And somebody preached that and said that to him. He said, I looked until almost with my eyes away. And he said, in that instant, the sin was forgiven and the scales fell off and the weights were removed. And he said, I could have stood with him and sung with the most enthusiastic of them a glad hallelujah about the blood of Jesus Christ and the sins that it washes away and the soul that it's saved. And in that circumstance and in that manner, was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon went on at the age of 19, became a pastor of the New Park Street Chapel, later on became called the Metropolitan Tabernacle. By the time he was 23, he was preaching to crowds of 20,000 people. They built a 5,000-seat auditorium, and so many people wanted to come. They had to ask his members to stay home on Sunday night so that sinners could come in. He would give people tickets that they didn't have to pay for them, but you'd have a ticket to have a seat, and his writings and sermons were transcribed, and his books were published year after year after year of sermons that every preacher I know has read some of Spurgeon's sermons. Most preachers have some or all of his books, and his ministry continues. What if on that Sunday, and said, other preachers not here, none of us have a sermon. Let's sing a few songs and read some scripture and go home. What if there'd been no labor? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth. Our Heavenly Father, would you guide me, please, as I extend the invitation? Would you help the Lord Jesus to say just exactly what you would want said? And would you speak, Holy Spirit, to our hearts?
And help us to listen. And help us to respond. Pray for laborers. See, most of you just like me. I knew that verse was there, but I never took it as a command. I took it as a slogan for a missions conference. A few years back, I had flown in from North Carolina where I'd been preaching and gone down to Detroit to preach at a youth conference. Got there a little bit early and I went into a Burger King. Got a sandwich and a Diet Coke. I was making phone calls, calling my Sunday school class for the next day, and I heard this noise went doodle-loo-loo, doodle-loo-loo. I thought, well, somebody's phone's going off. And I got up, and it wasn't that at all. There was a man in the Burger King that had a heart attack. He was lying on the ground. His skin was gray. They were hooking up a defibrillator to him. They were pretty new at that time. I hadn't seen one before. And they shocked him 6 or 7 times. He didn't seem to revive. I thought, well, I'm just being a rubbernecker. I better stop gawking. I went in the restroom. When I came out, his body was gone. And all the paramedics and police officers are gone except one police officer. I said, officer, I'm a chaplain for Saginaw County Sheriff's Department, and I've been trained in critical incident stress debriefing. You suppose I could be of any help? He said, yeah, maybe. He took me to the manager. She said, please talk to these kids. I don't know what to tell them. They just watched somebody die. I sat down with them, and I did what you do in a debriefing. And then I said, can I talk to you a minute as a Baptist preacher? I said, you see, something like this got to make you think. What would happen if you were in that spot? And I gave them the gospel of the 6 that we sat down in the booth and talked to. 5 trusted Christ. The 6th had already been saved. You say, stuff like it never happens to me. All right. But what would you have done if you'd been in that spot? Most of us go a few weeks, don't even hand anybody a gospel tract. It's not hard. Just say, can I give you something? Can I leave you some good news? Would you read this, and when I'm here next week, tell me what you think of it? Here's something that's been really helpful to me. I think it might help you. Few people turn them down. Most people take them. You're like I was. You didn't take it seriously. I got convicted. I got instructed. Now my daily prayer list, before I pray for my wife, for my father, my mother-in-law, my children, my grandchildren, our staff, our deacons, some of my preacher friends, some members of our church, before I pray for anybody else, I pray for laborers. I wonder if you hear this evening, you say, Brother Ouellette, I'm not saying I never miss, but it's my regular, consistent, near daily habit to pray for laborers. I do that on a regular basis. If you do that, would you hold your hand up high? God bless you, thanks. You're just like I was. But I wonder who would say, I see that Jesus told us to do it. And by the grace of God, I'm going to begin to pray daily for laborers. I'll do that. If you'll do that, would you hold your hand up high? God bless you. God bless you. Did you know that you and I are part of the answer to the Lord's prayer request? He said, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He said, go tell people how to get saved, get them baptized, and then teach them everything I taught you, which has to include teaching them to get people saved, because that's what he just taught them. I want to ask another question or two, if it's all right. I wonder if there's somebody you know who needs Jesus. There was a famous preacher. Some of you would even know his name if I gave it to you. Before I went to his current church, he was in Fort Wayne, Indiana. There's an older lady lived next door to them, and she became very close to their family, like a grandmother to them, gave presents to the children at Christmas and birthdays, came to them for special holiday dinners, and he'd never sat down and given her the gospel. Years went by, and finally he got into deep conviction, and he went over and said, ma'am, I got to tell you this. And she got real quiet. When he got done, she said, let me make sure I understand. You believe if I don't trust Jesus as my Savior, I'll die and go to hell? Yes, ma'am. You've known that the whole time you've known me? Yes. If I died any time from the time you met me till now, you believe I'd have gone to hell. Yes, that's what the Bible says. And you never told me this before. No, ma'am, he said, to my shame, I have not. And she said, you are not my friend. Please get out of my house. I don't want to see you again. Doesn't matter what you call them. If there's people you know who don't know Jesus and you don't tell them about Jesus, you are not their friend. Now, I understand it's not because you're calloused or indifferent. It's most of the time because we're uncertain, nervous, fearful. But the Bible says God hath not given us the spirit of fear. That doesn't come from God. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. I wonder if there's somebody you know who needs Jesus. You say, preacher, God's dealing with me about somebody I know who needs the Lord Jesus. I'd like you to make a commitment. That by the grace of God, in the next 2 weeks, you'll get them the gospel somehow. You can go see them. You can call them on the phone. You can send them a letter. Get a book. Brother Chappell's got a great book called Paid in Full. Brother Kerry Schmidt has one called Done. Wonderful explanations of the gospel. Inexpensive little booklets. Your preacher may even have some of them here. I don't know. But you say, somehow, God help me, I'll get them the gospel in the next 2 weeks. You pray with me about that. If you say that, hold your hand up high. There's somebody I know needs Jesus. God bless you. 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 Who else? Yes, ma'am. God bless you. God help me, I'll get them the gospel the next 2 weeks. Then I want to ask this question. I wonder how many would say it is my regular weekly habit to go out through the ministry of our local church and tell people about Jesus. I'm not saying you never miss, but it's your general habit to go out on a weekly basis, tell people about Jesus. If that's true of you, would you slip your hand up high? That's my weekly habit. God bless you. God bless you. I want to say, you know what? I don't do that on a regular basis. I'd like to ask you to commit to something. I'd like to ask you just start going and never stop, but I understand we have a hesitancy about making an open-ended commitment like that. So would you commit to this? Would you, for the next 13 weeks, that's one quarter of a year, unless you're providentially hindered, if you have to work, if you're out of town, you're sick, Lord understands that. But unless you're providentially hindered, you say, for the next 13 weeks, God can count on me, my preacher can count on me, I'll go out through the ministry of our church and tell people about Jesus. I haven't been doing it, but I'll begin to. I'll do it for at least the next 13 weeks. If you say that, would you slip your hand up high? I haven't been doing it, but well, God bless you, sir. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. If I count it right, that's twice as many people raise their hand as raise their hand to say they've been going. That means you'll have three times as many people hearing the gospel. That's a good thing. Let me ask you another question. Some of you right now, you knew you should have raised your hand. And you're not bad people. You don't want anybody to die and go to hell. You'd give people money if you could help them. You'd help people if they had fallen and pick them up. You'd give assistance to somebody whose car broke down. Just nervous and uncertain. So I want you to think about this. Preacher and I go out soul winning. When we go to a house, only one of us does the talking. The other person's a silent partner. But let's say we each took somebody with us who didn't talk at all. This one long and smiled. Now, we go to twice as many places, give the gospel to twice as many people, and likely see twice as many people get saved. Because we had a silent partner. I wonder who would say, I didn't raise my hand before and say that I'll begin going for the next 13 weeks, but I could be a silent partner. I could go along and free somebody else up to give the gospel. God can count on me to do that for the next 13 weeks, unless I'm providentially hindered. If you say that, would you slip your hand up high? I'll go be a silent partner. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you, young friend. God bless you. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Wonderful. I wonder if you're here tonight and you say, I don't know I'd go to heaven if I died right now. This whole message has been about God's desire that people spend eternity with him. I wonder if you say, I don't know, I'd go to heaven if I died right now. But I wish you did. When you pray for the other folks, pray for me as well. If you say that, would you lift your hand up high? I'd love to pray for you. Won't embarrass you. Didn't call attention to anybody else who raised the hand tonight. Would call no more attention to you now than I did to them then. But I'd love to pray for you. Father, help us. Speak to our hearts. Prepare us and those to whom we'll speak about the gospel. Empower us. Lord Jesus, you said you'd go with us. Right after you told us to teach the gospel to everybody and to baptize them and to teach them all things, you said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. So help us, I pray, to trust you, to rely on you. And then, Heavenly Father, bless these moments of invitation. We'll thank you in Jesus' name for what you do. Amen. In just a minute, I'll give a signal to our sister on the piano. I want you to stand, if you would, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed. When she begins to play, that'll be your signal to